Okay, everybody can hear?
So the next year will be on Tuesday. Hopefully, starting Tuesday, we should be able to go a little bit longer also. We're good? Okay. So for today, let's just try to get a little bit more of a handle on some of the categories and then start speaking of specifics, and then we'll try to move quickly towards the rest of the Mar Makomos Im Yirtzeh Hashem for Tuesday, and then I'll give you more Mar Makomos. We'll start moving on to some of the Sfeikos issues. Okay. So what we were discussing was three approaches. Is this thing helping at all? Yeah? Sounds a little louder? Okay. If not, if we find out that it's not really doing anything, I'll just scrap it. So just let me know. So we were talking about three approaches to understanding or to locating Birchas HaMitzvah. The Sugya establishes that there is this category, Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchan Aleim Overlasi Asan. And, of course, it's not the only Gemara either. And the question is, you know, the Gemara had its opportunity, as we mentioned, to, provide a makar. But mostly the Gemara is focused on the question of the timing and the nusach, and therefore it's, leaves it as an open question how this, bracha relates to other dinim, other brachos. So I think what we've suggested mostly is that there are three approaches. Each of these approaches is consequential. It's also possible that they're not mutually exclusive. In other words, that the there's more than one aspect to Birchas HaMitzvah. There could be multiple kiyumim, in Birchas HaMitzvah, including the possibility that occasionally, you fulfill one aspect, without the other, depending on the timing, when you actually do it, depending on who does it, depending on the Nusach HaBracha. So the idea that Birchas HaMitzvah may accomplish, more than one purpose, and therefore even in conditions which seem to imply that a particular approach is not, determinative, that might end up being misleading, because maybe all that we're really saying is that maybe if you can't fulfill, all dimensions of Birchas HaMitzvah, it's still, appropriate, to do part. And of course, when you have the potential to maximize, then you're obligated to do that. So this, of course, is an important perspective in general for the issues that I just, rattled off very quickly. Who does it, what the nusach is, what the timing is. But of course, in particular, in terms of the sugya, it's a very good possible way to explain the tefillah problem, right? In other words, if you take, a very hard core position, like the Rambam did, and we'll discuss that more, namely the Rambam's view that, if you don't make the bracha over Lasi Yasan, unlike the perspective of the Or Zeruah, Udi Imei, who say that, b'di'evet you can make the bracha afterwards, the Rambam's view is that it's, mu'uvas lo yuchal litkon. That's something that he says in, if anybody has a language, just very quickly, in Perikid Aleph Hilchos Brachos, did I bring brachos? I forgot. And again in Perek Gimel, Avinatan, in Yud Aleph Brachos, and in Perek Gimel Hilchos Ishus, right? What is it? Chaf Gimel? Gimel Chaf Gimel? You have it, Zach? You're reading Ishus? What's either one. What do you have? You're reading Brachos. Yud Aleph? What halacha is it? Yeah, so the Rambam is very explicit in Perikid Aleph, of course, of Hilchos Brachos, is the that's where the Rambam speaks about these klalim, right? and about Birchas HaMitzvah more broadly. So it's perfectly clear that there's no... Anybody have Perek Gimel Chasishas open just for a quick... You have it? Got it then? No? Gimel Chav Gimel? Sounds right? Yeah, Mashanasa Kvarnasa. In other words, there's no point to it because it's too late. So that's a very hard position that the Rambam takes, meaning a very clear and unequivocal position. Yet the Rambam has to contend with with our sugya, which says that at least when it comes to tevila, right, especially tevila's gerim, when it's the afshar, otherwise, because say you can't say asher kedushanu b'mitzvos of tzivanu, in advance of the actual giur, so there are exceptions, and of course, the more exceptions, the bigger the issue and the problem. So there are, you could just end up saying that, what the Gemara really, really, really means to say is that this isn't a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. But it doesn't really sound that way in the Gemara. It sounds like, this is a legitimate exception to the requirement of Overlas Siyasan in Birchas HaMitzvah. But for the Rambam, that is particularly problematic, because if it's just a lechatchila, even a lechatchila which is ma'akev, you could have said that, again, let me make it clear, the Rambam shita is that it's ma'akev, the Or Zeruah shita is that it's lechatchila and not b'diavad. In theory, you could have had a position which said that it's ma'akev, but it's ma'akev because the Birchas HaMitzvah is supposed to be done in a maximal way. So maybe it's ma'akev when it's possible, but when it's not possible, it's not ma'akev. What does that mean? That's typically not something, that we encounter, but we do encounter it here or there. It means that, especially if we're talking about a shevach, element, but that, I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute too, but nonetheless, the timing is better over Las Yasan, but it's a function of the possibility, and the ikuv is like, if you're going to do Birchas HaMitzvah, which is intended to accomplish some, lofty purpose, then it's held to a high standard. Do it properly. And if you're not going to do it properly, then that's ma'akev. But something which can't be done in any other way, right? So then we assess it differently. But for the Rambam, it's a little harder to say that, because, his muvas lo yuchalitkon is not because you haven't achieved the highest standard in like this is like a certain kind of bracha which reflects certain things, and by doing it second rate you've already undermined the goal of it. That's not what he says. What he says is Yonatan Mashanasa Kvarnasa, meaning it's just objectively too late. And so that's that constitutes a more difficult situation, and it leaves us wondering. So what do we do with tefillah, right? Unless you want to say that there really are two dinim, or that the Rambam thinks that it's birchas shevach, or that in every birchas hamitzvah there are really two aspects, but you just the potential of one always undermines the. You can make a birchas shevach, or there's a birchas shevach aspect of birchas hamitzvah too, and that isn't governed by mashanasa nasa, but it is undermined when there's a greater, more maximal way to accomplish the deed. So either way, the bigger point I'm trying to make is we've identified three, let's say, perspectives. One is a birchas hamitzvah is something which stands on its own. It's unique to mitzvos, and I'll explain what that might contribute in just one more second. The second possibility is that it is kind of a matir, comparable to Birchas HaNenin, based on the Rambam's language of kishem. And the third is that it, you know, but Birchas HaMitzvah is a kind of, also kind of Birchas Shemach Vahoda. Yeah, Asher, first.
Yeah.
Meaning also that it's a function of what was possible. Yeah. I was going to quote that in a couple of minutes. That's you have the line, just read the whole, that's Yud Aleph Zion. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I do think I agree with that. I was going to mention that also. Josh, you wanted to add something also?
Just why would it only be that
tefillah is an exception? Well, because in tefillah it's structured merosh, that it's on, that you don't have any other way to do it. Right, so I'm saying it, the shevach v'hoda component, I'm still, you know, sticking partially with what I said before, which is that the part of the shevach v'hoda component is also rendered problematic when there's a better way to do things and you don't. You know, because here you're rhapsodizing about this, you know, great opportunity, and you're doing it in a way which belies, like, a maximal, you know, appreciation. That's what's different when it's, you know, structured in. Okay. Anyways, so let's take a step back for a moment, just analyze each of these a little bit more fully before we move on to specifics. The idea that this might be its own category, Birchas HaMitzvah. So, you know, what would that be? So obviously it would be something if it wasn't like, you know, Birchas HaNen and the Matir model, which we'll get back to, or the Divrei, or the Shevach V'Hoda model, each of which, again, requires more detail. What is it, what do we mean when we say that Birchas HaMazon is a category in and of itself, and why would we say that? So I think it's because potentially what the mitzvah itself, you know, makes possible and also may require. In the performance of any mitzvah, as we know, there are a whole, you know, slew of issues. The problem of, you know, level of kavana, like, you know, what objectively, you know, determines this, you know, as a mitzvah. You know, both things that can interfere, like misasek, absence of kavana, which we'll get to in just a second, but also not things that interfere so much as, again, things that may need to be a prerequisite, right, to accomplish it. That also could be an issue of kavana, but in particularly a kind of lishma, or a kind of acknowledgement and recognition, you know, that the goal here is, Avodas Hashem and Ritzon Hashem, rather than, you know, just, you know, some haphazard or, you know, some, you know, show for other people, or some monotonous, you know, Mitzvot Anashim Melumada, right? There's a whole series of issues, you know, that are connected with the opportunity, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvosav, you know, v'tzivanu. So it's conceivable that by declaring in advance, by preparing for, and by declaring and providing a framework for the performance of a mitzvah, that you preclude, you know, you neutralize, you know, some of those pitfalls, even as you provide, you know, possibly, if they are, some of those prerequisites. And if they're not exactly prerequisites, they're certainly kiyumim, you know, that add to. And again, I think it's important to step back sometimes and think about these things. You know, it's important for the performance of mitzvos and the making of the brachos. But more phenomenologically, even just to understand what this opportunity, asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakos es Yisrael, what I referred to the other day as, you know, the mechanisms and the methodology of doing, you know, the impossible, you know, but the necessary, meaning doing things that make your life meaningful, that connect you in some way with, you know, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the idea that a bracha, you know, kind of foreshadows, you know, and like paves the way or identifies, again, neutralizes, you know, the obstacles and also provides support, you know, for doing, you know, this is something which I think makes a lot of sense, frankly. If this was true, so then that's very different than Birchas Shabbach, you know, and Birchas Hanin, obviously. And basically it's Kirchok Mizrachamar of, you know, eating and, you know, experiencing, you know, certain phenomena in the world and being, you know, impressed by them, or them being a method also, let's say, of emuna. So both in terms of thanks, the hodah part and the shavach part, you know, those are very different, you know, experiences than doing mitzvos, you know, and having more direct engagement, you know, with the spiritual world and with the Ribbono Shel Olam directly. So again, that's to highlight it just a little bit more, and, you know, to speak about it a little bit more as well. So it's very, there are even some Birchas HaMitzvah where, you know, the possibility that the bracha is kind of integrated into the performance itself, you know, is something that, you know, that we encounter. A great example of that, not so many of them, but an example of that, is Sfiras HaOmer, according to some Rishonim. It looks like you were thinking about that. So I agree. So which Rishonim, since you were thinking about it, which Rishonim, which Poskim? Any familiar?
I
must have spoken about this for sure.
I would say the Rambam first, and then the Poskim, the Rav Yah.
The Rav Yah for sure. What do you mean by the Rambam? Which Rambam? Oh, okay. Because it fits in with that. So the Rav Yah, you know, famously discusses this issue, and the Gra, you know, in Shulchan Aruch picks up on it, both in terms of the, you know, the possibility that, you know, the bracha is kind of, you know, integrated into the minui, you know, Asher Kedushanu Mitzosav Tzivanu Al Sfiras Omer, you know, and then you kind of go Shehayom, you know. Where it's all kind of one action. That's a very remarkable thing. We don't pass in that way, obviously. But that's the Rav Yah, and maybe the Rambam's hinting at that, and certainly that's what the Grub, you know, is discussing in the Poskim. For example, this is they have an interesting issue, halachic issue, that is connected to it, and that is if you make a mistake, right, Josh? What's the issue? If you're thinking one day and you end up counting another day. So in Hilchos Brachos, you know, we have a Gemara that discusses that issue. Familiar?
Yeah.
That's a Gemara.
You pick up, you know, a cup of whatever beer, if
somebody
you think it's wine,
and vice versa. Pasach bidechamra v'siyim bidechakra, or vice versa. So that's a Gemara Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph from a base. And the Gemara there discusses, you know, what happened. Like, you know, when you said the bracha, you had one thing in mind, and that, you know, and you know, when you finished the bracha and you said the chasimah sabracha, you had something else in mind. Okay. So that's in terms of that's in terms of the birchas hananin, you know, itself. There's no mitzvah there. We're talking about again birchas hananin, talking about eating. But the bracha itself, you know, is the question is it an accurate bracha? No, or not. But can you compare that to making a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer, having something in mind at the time of the bracha, and then, you know, the question is, if there's a discrepancy between that and the actual Maisa Mitzvah, which is the Minui. Right? So, is that comparable to this or not? The Gra and the Ra, that's the whole discussion. They think that maybe it is comparable. So any idea, any phenomenon, again, you could say this is something very unique, you know, the brachas bedibur, the, you know, the minui, you know, is bedibur, It's harder, right, to integrate, you know, a bracha, you know, with a physical performance and to say it's all one than it is with, you know, a verbal one. Okay, but in the end of the day, well, that's a distinction that is very legitimate. This whole, you know, possibility, unless questions, you know, when it's rejected, if it's rejected, and when it's rejected, halacha, you know, is it just too much, or is the whole thing just, you know, nidche, you know, lechalutin, legamri, you know, in every respect, because we don't find any other. You're not going to say that about Birkas Shevach v'Hodah, and you're not going to say it about Birkas Hanin, and frankly, either. Again, the paradigm we just spoke about was within the bracha, not the relationship between the bracha and the achila. But here you're talking about making a bracha al sfiras om, and then saying hayom, whatever the yom is, right? So the consideration of this, and possibly even those who reject it, you know, highlights the fact that you can have a birchas hamitzvah, right, which is integrated into the bracha. And that is a very remarkable thing. So, of course, the idea that the bracha might have some relevance to kavana, something that the Ritva here speaks about. The Ritva is tricky, so we'll get back to that in just a minute. But the idea that, you know, the, you know, what role does kavana play in mitzvahs in general? So there's a debate whether mitzvah strichas rein, strichas kavana. True. There's also debate how we paskin. You know, the Rambam, as is well known, paskins a mitzvah strichas kavana when it comes to Megillah and Shofar. He paskins a mitzvah ein strichas kavana when it comes to matzah, kafo parsiim. Like if the somebody force feeds you matzah, right, you can still fulfill the obligation. Right, even then, the ra'ah happens to be the opinion that if you don't know that it's Pesach, you know, and you eat matzah, you don't fulfill the obligation, meaning there are circumstances where you can be misasek, you know, even in matzah, you know, even if you hold mitzvah Saint Tzrichos Kavana. But either way, the psak of the Rambam is unclear. And the question is how to assess, you know, that discrepancy. Most people think that things have to do with, you know, dibor as opposed to matzah, but which is the exception, which is the rule? Is it matzah shekeinene, which is the way it sounds like Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Ches, in the Mitzriches Kavana Sugya, that's how Rashi seems to interpret. There was a havamina of the Gemara, when it talks about mitzvah strichas rein, strichas kavana, so the Gemara mentions kafo parsiim. So the Gemara says, we just talked about mitzvah strichas kavana, it's okay l'shir, you know, when it comes to tkiyas shofar. So why are we talking about more cases? What's the difference? Hainu hach, says the Gemara, you might have thought that when it comes to shofar, zichron chua amarachmana, and without kavana v'leka, as opposed to matzah, achol matzah amarachmana, right, v'ha'achal. So then the Gemara seemingly is doka that, and then the Rambam, you know, seems to paskin that discrepancy. So the Ran, and then many other, in Rosh Hashanah, and then many other Mefarshim also, say, yeah, the Rambam felt that that distinction, you know, which was nidcha in the Shaka Vatari in Rosh Hashanah, but it's supported by other sugyas, and that's the distinction that he makes. But is it because of Shekein Nana, you know, in the case of matzah, that's the exception? Or is it that anytime you're dealing with a mitzvah's dibor, you know, the need for kavana is greater? You know, that's not clear. But the point I'm trying to make is that how we pass in a mitzvah strichas rein, strichas kavana is open to question. There also may be discrepancies, certainly are in the Rambam. How we handle the discrepancy in the Rambam is a question. But what I will say is that even the consensus view is mitzvahs ein srichas kavana in the Rishonim and in the Poskim. But even in that view, we find that the Rishonim tell us that l'chatchila you need kavana. That's not surprising. I mean, by the way, the kavana there, of course, is latzeis. There are two different issues in kavana, should be aware. One is latzeis yidei chavaso. Typically, the argument in Shas about mitzvah tzrichas rein tzrichas kavana is about kavana letzeis. There's another issue, and that goes to, again, the Masasek question, and that is, do you know what you're doing? Are you aware of what it is that you're doing? And you have to, you know, have in mind, you know, so that it isn't just a mechanical action, problem of Masasek. And of course, in something like Kriya Shema, there may be in Tfilah, you know, each in their own way, there might be an additional element, and that is really knowing, you know, what the words mean. You know, in Tfilah, as Reb Chaim explains it, for the sake of being Lifnei Hashem, is an added element of Kavana, and for Kriya Shema, you know, for the Dibur itself, just for the, how can be Mekabel, you know, O Malchus Shemayim, and the formula of Kriya Shema and Yichud Hashem and everything that is included in it, if you're just saying words and you don't have any understanding or appreciation what the implications are, at least even what you're saying. So there are all sorts of levels of Kavana. But what the Ramban says in a bunch of places, including his Drasha L'Rosh Hashanah and other places, his Chidushim and other places, is that even if Mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana, there's certainly a L'chatchila of Kavana. And I say we totally, you know, appreciate and understand that. If there are areas, according to the Rambam, which require Kavana, then likely, I'm not saying that you can't argue on this point, but likely, even the areas where Ein Tzrichas Kavana, you know, Kavana is a kiyum, and Kavana is important. The Netziv in Merome Sadeh and elsewhere in the Shiltos, you know, has this view that even if Mitzvah Ein Tzrichas Kavana, that it's really Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, just there's kind of like an implicit, you know, mimela, you know, kind of a Kavana. You know, you just don't, it's not on the forefront of your consciousness, you know, but there's kind of like a, you know, the natural momentum of whatever it is that you're doing, you know, in a mitzvah. Includes Kavana. That's why he tries to explain that if you ever have Kavana lolatzeis, like this is a big issue, right? Comes up here in Tosis also, right? Tosis discussing lulav, midag be nafak be, or, you know, where, how do you get over lasiyasan and lulav? As we know, Tosis suggests several options, you know, holding it upside down, you know, the fact that you still have, you know, the nanuim, so the things we discuss, we'll get back to it. But one of the things Tosis discusses, what if, well, yeah, that you should have maybe kavana lo latzeis, you know, until after the bracha. Okay, so this is an interesting question. Is it clear that kavana lo latzeis is ma'akev if you hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana? Not clear at all, right? It's, you know, Tosis isn't the only Rishon that holds this way. You know, that kavana lo latzeis, negative kavana is ma'akev. But it's always curious that, you know, whenever that is, it's advantageous to invoke that, you know, to answer some question, there are always alternative answers, right? And it's not explicit anywhere that's universally agreed to. In other words, what I'm trying to say is implicitly, for good logical reasons, and implicitly, there's good reason to think that there are Rishonim who will say that, you know, if you don't need Kavana, then Kavana lo latzeis isn't ma'akev either. Okay? So, this becomes a very interesting issue, frankly. Is there a chalos Kavana? So is there an implicit Kavana? You know, but then, if it's an implicit kavana, and that's the pshat mitzvah Sein Tzrichas kavana, then of course kavana lo latzeis is going to be ma'akev. But even if you didn't say that, frankly, you could say that negative kavana is worse than no kavana. What I'm saying with kind of the perspective of the Netziv is more that, you know, negative kavana, you know, is an assertion of absence of kavana, whereas absence of kavana, you know, because of the momentum of the action, you know, it's kind of like a stama, you know, it's just like the stama lishma for certain things, like stama lekavana. But it's not stama lekavana when you, I'm not talking about Ravelvel stama lishma for the moment, but it's not stama lekavana if you reject it, right? So, know, I thought Asher was going to say something, but yeah, we'll leave that for another time. But why am I talking so much about Kavana and Misasek? And we'll just talk about Lishma. You don't need Lishma. You need Lishma in certain areas of Halakha, right? And, you know, obviously Ksiva Stam and other things as well. And you don't need Lishma in Mitzvos. Mitosha Lo Lishma, Ba Lishma. You know, things like that. But again, it's a similar kind of a problem. Meaning there's no Kiyam, there's no Chalos, there's no dimension of Lishma. Or there's a kind of, it's not Mahakev, number one. It's part of the moment. You know, when you do something, it's stama lishma. You know, the action. As long as you're not, sabotaging it. It has a certain momentum and a certain objective character. You know, which includes an implicit lishma, even if you're not focusing on it consciously. Okay, why are these things important? They're very important. I mean, one of the things that they're important for is, you know, is there a kiyum? Is there a lechatchila? You know, is it going to, will there be ways that it will be ma'akev? You know, like we're discussing. So I think in light of all this, why am I telling you all this now? I think that that is a way to look at the contribution of birchas hamitzvah on a lechatchila level, at least. Namely, that either neutralizing, you know, some of these potential obstacles, you know, like misasek and so on and so forth, or even more likely, as a positive requirement to get the most out of and to kind of add, at least on a kiyum level, or to reinforce, you know, the implicit, you know, stama aspects of kavana, you know, of lishma, etc. So when you make a bracha in advance, you know, implicitly you're doing that. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, where you're acknowledging, you know the magnitude of what you're doing, the stature of what you're doing, you know, that you're doing it with intent, you know, and that you're doing it l'shem shamayim. Right? And, you know, even I would add, maybe even, that you're doing it as a mitzvah. You know, that you're doing it because it's Ritzon Hashem. As opposed to, you know, just going along with, oh, because it's, you know, behavioristically, you know, advantageous. You know, it builds moral character, it builds whatever it is the particular mitzvah builds. And again, I'm not suggesting that it doesn't. And maybe even, you know, I'm not suggesting that if it does, that isn't intentional. But as we know, right, the ultimate, you know, reason to do a mitzvah is, in a mitzvah, it's important to recognize, you know, the value and the impact that it's supposed to have, you know, and at the same time, the motivation is supposed to be Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. You know, is to acknowledge and to behave as a mitzvah. These are not, you know, contradictory in any way. On the contrary, the maximal way of doing all these things is, you know, with all the dimensions and, you know, being very subtly, you know, maximalist in terms of, you know, the right motive. This is the motivation, this is the content of your thought, this is the follow-up of your thought, you know, and so on. So from my, I'm just speculating a little bit, but from, you know, that point of view, kol ha-mitzvos mevarchen aleihem, the need for a bracha in advance, and that's kind of what the bracha says, right? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, you know, v'tzivanu, being a mitzvah. Gol ha-mitzvah v'yosa mimishein ha-mitzvah v'yosa is understood by the Balei Tosas in psychological terms. Tosin Kedushin and elsewhere, you know, it's really more, you know, difficult to do things when somebody, you know, we're kind of, you know, free-spirited, you know, creatures. So, you know, when people tell you to do something, you know, not only when you're a teenager, like, you know, we're all teenagers, you know. So, you know, when people sort of impose something on you, you know, there's a certain natural tendency to, you know, to reject that, and, you know, to run away from it. You know, ketino kaboreach mi beis ha-sefer. So it's, that's what Bali Tosis point out, that it's more difficult to do things as a mitzuveh, you know, therefore gadol mitzuveh v'yosa mimishen mitzuveh v'yosa. But, and it is, again, that may certainly be true. I'm sure it is psychologically true, although it's a little initially counterintuitive. But the simplest pshat in gadol mitzuveh v'yosa mimishen mitzuveh v'yosa is not that it's more difficult and therefore it's more admirable, but that the component of responding consciously as a mitzuveh, or actually being a mitzuveh, you know, is a factor. It's an added dimension. It's an enhancement in the performance of the mitzvah. Okay, so if you acknowledge that, you know, in advance of doing it, asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, like, that's a big thing. In a way, that is relevant, if indeed this is what the role of the bracha is, partially. So it's also interesting to bring into the question of an eina mitzuveh, or an eina mitzuvah, as the case may be. Do they make a bracha or not? Is the bracha related to the chiyuv, birchas hamitzvah, or is the bracha related to the maisa? Right? Actually, is birchas hamitzvah related to chiyuvim, to the maisim, or to the kiyumim, you know, in cases where you can break up those three things. So, for example, of course, the chiyuv as opposed to rishus or kiyum part is the classic, you know, question about nashim and avadim, right? In mitzasei shezman grama, which we're all familiar with, that mostly the chachmei sfarad were of the opinion you don't make a bracha, and you know, the Bali Tosis and Chachmi Ashkenaz, you know, thought that you did. So again, how to assess that machlokas? You know, it could be the machlokas, is a machlokas, how, you know, Eina Mitzuva, you know, are the populations that we're talking about. Like, how mufka for the mitzvah, or are they, you know, completely in the parsha, but there's just a Ptur Gavra, you know, something in between. That's why I've mentioned many times that the Rav was convinced. Bali Tosis actually in Gittin and Avmem apply the principle of bracha in Mitzaseh Shesman Grama even to Avadim. Talk about tefillin there, but the Rav always thought that, you know, you should be mechalek. I think we talked about this when we learned Shuas a couple of years back. That you should be mechalek, because even though Avadim have lola miyisha, have a certain status. Right, but with regard to Nashim, of course, there's full Kedushas Yisrael, and it's just only a question of, you know, having different spiritual focus and different obligations. It's more of a p'tur. But from a Kedushas Yisrael point of view, of course, that is equal between the genders. But when it comes to Avadim, there really is an absence of full Kedushas Yisrael. So he thought it would be very reasonable that you would have been. I actually saw that in the, I think in the most recent, or maybe it's not the most recent anymore, they put out some of the tshuvas of Moshe Feinstein after his Petira, so there are more volumes now. So I picked up one recently, I just happened to see that he also has the same perspective, you know, the difference between Avadim and Nashim, you know, when it comes to this issue, with the same basic argument. I mean, it's a very logical argument. You know, it's very cogent. So, but the reason I'm talking about this is, so of course there are two ways to explain the bigger argument. One is the argument is about how mufka are the parties, and what is exactly is their status with regard to this mitzvah, and that's why it's appealing to be mechalek. I mean, the eved can do the mitzvah, he can do the maisa, but these are, is he, you know, he's definitely not mechuyev, and maybe there's no kiyum. But nashim, you know, are really in the parsha, you know, in every way. And it's a p'tur gavra. Or, another way to look at it is, everybody agrees, let's say in the case of nashim, everybody agrees about that point, The question is, what does the bracha relate to? Does the bracha only relate to being mechuyev? Or does it relate to anybody who's doing the mice? And there are some lishonos in some of the rishonim that they can seem like, well, if you do the mice, you can say the bracha. That's all you need. That's a very minimalist requirement. The next level would be, if there's a kiyum, even though there's no chiyuv, you can make the bracha, or you should make the bracha. The next level, I guess, would be, you know, if the only reason there's no chiyuv is because of a ptur gavra, you know, but it, meaning it's overridden by other things, maybe you should make the bracha. So, in addition to part of the story is, you know, how to assess these pturim, and that's interesting for avadim, and it's interesting for nashim, and I'm only bringing this as an example. There are other cases too. This is just maybe the most obvious one. But from our point of view right now, what I'm talking about is Birchas HaMitzvah and the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah and what it, you know, requires. A chiyuv, right? Anything, you know, anything other than Ptur Gavra, you know, that's an overriding Ptur Gavra, or any kiyum, you know, or any maisa. Again, if you're talking about a maisa, let's say, you might say, well, that works in better, you know, a little bit better with the matir, you know, perspective. Or maybe to define, to give, you know, stature to what it is that you're doing, that it isn't besasek, that you really are doing this maisa, if the bracha really contributes to that, maybe that's still a reason. But certainly on the more basic question, does it depend on the chiyuv, asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, you know, how much v'tzivanu is necessary? As opposed to just recognizing, as long as it's a kiyum, you still, you know, the chefza shal mitzvah, the maisa mitzvah, those things are the same, you know, for somebody who's mechuyev and somebody who's, for whom it's a mitzvah reshus, but there's a kiyum. So I think this is a very important issue, like a very important question. Whether the bracha relates to the maisa or to the larger kiyum mitzvah is also something that expresses itself in a different kind of question. That is, let's say you have kiyumim without maisim. Is there a birchas mitzvah? And let's say you have, you know, multiple maisim, right, but only a single kiyum mitzvah. Right, what happens then? How many brachos do you make? So what are examples of that? Let's say kiyumim bli maisim, you know, goes to, you know, certain cases, like especially on a drabanan level. Again, I was supposed to speak about Arvei Pesachim, but I never got a chance, right? So the Rav used to think that that was the issue, let's say, in charoses, and possibly the discussion in matzah, right? With charoses, you know, the Gemara has a debate whether it's a mitzvah or not. So the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, in Arvei Pesachim, says that, if it's a mitzvah, then you'd also make a bracha. Right? How many of you have made the bracha? Simcha Lev, you remember that bracha? Sher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, lechol l'sacharoses, halachi l'sacharoses. Never. Because the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka paskins that charoses is a mitzvah, but he says you don't make a bracha. Right? So the Lechem Mishnah already, you know, makes that ha'ara. He says, if you look at Perushim Mishnah, he says, why don't you make a bracha if you really think it's a mitzvah? And I think he also points there to the fact that in Perushim Mishnah, the Rambam said, if indeed you want to paskin that it, like the day in the Gemara, that it's a mitzvah, that you would make a bracha. So obviously the Rambam changed his mind, you know, from Pirshei Mishnayos to Yad HaChazaka, in terms of whether the mitzvah of charoses requires a bracha or not. So the Rav used to explain that if you look carefully at the Rambam, you know, he never ever says that the mitzvah is to eat the charoses. Right? The language of the Rambam, if somebody can get it open just for a second, in Perek, Ches, is that mevi, or is it perigzayin? In a perigzayin, maybe? Is that mevi and oso ala shulchan? The Rambam says two things about charoses. Number one, he tells you how to make it, right? You don't have to use the Rambam's recipe, by the way, although I'm told it's good. kosher, you use the Rambam's recipe? It is very good. Yeah. So, the Rambam's, those are two things that he tells you about Charoses. Number one, Hacharoses, sorry, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph, Hacharoses Mitzvah Midivrei Sofrim, Zeicher Letit, right, he says, Mitzvah Midivrei Sofrim, Shoyu Ovid Bobi Mitzrayim. And then he says, V'ketzad Osin Osa, Lokhin Tamarim, Grogeris, Tzmukim. You don't have to write it down, because, you know, it's in the Rambam cookbook, right, that the Mukiyotza Bahen. I think Tani's going to put it to music. right? Tani? I don't know, it's just a different channel, that's all. The Dorsin Osan, Vinosan Tochan Chomet, so Metavlin Osa Metavlin, Kamotit Beteben, Vinosan Oshulchan Belele Pesach. So the Ram says two things about Charoses. Number one, he tells you how to make it. And number two, he tells you to bring it to the table. So the Ram thought that was very telling, you know, that the two things that he says about it or how to make it and, you know, and to bring it to the table, but he never says to eat it. Now, of course, when he talks about, Tibol, you know, he talks about Charoses. But that's not when he talks about Charoses. So, the Rav thought that the idea was that what the Rambam changed his mind was that originally he thought that the mitzvah of Charoses was to eat the Charoses. Zechalitit and so on and so forth, and then you should make a bracha because kol mitzvah savarchan aleim ovelasiyasan because the ma'isa mitzvah midrabanan or midivrei sofrim whatever it is, but just like you make a bracha on marar, right? There's also midivrei sofrim. The Rambam, the next halacha is achilas marar ain a mitzvah min haTorah b'fnei atzmo el tulia b'achilas haPesach, and so on. But when it comes to maror, it's perfectly clear in the Rambam in Perek Ches, right, that even bizman hazeh, that you make a bracha, right? The Rambam is explicit about it. So, what's the difference between that and charoses? So the Rav thought because the Rambam was trying to tell us that this mitzvah is a prop. Kind of a myth, my language, but that's what he was basically saying. Meaning it's something to have on the table, you know, and to its presence there, making it and having it on the table, is zecher letit, and that's the mitzvah. But you don't, there's no mitzvah to do anything with it. So it's a kiyum mitzvah, b'li ma'isa mitzvah, and he thought that's why you don't have a bracha. And then he used to analyze, you know, that maybe that's the pshat in the rush. The Rush has a safek. Well, the Rush doesn't have a safek. The Rush has a, you know, the Rush wants to know: do you make a? Do you have to eat a kazayas of marar or not? Think of the Rush in Arve Pesachim. So, you know, of course, the problem is like, why wouldn't you? The maskana is that you do, but the way the Rush formulates why you have to make a bracha is also very interesting. Instead of saying, well, like, what's the question? He says, well, you make, you know, since you make, sorry, so you have to have a kazayas, because the bracha says, and achila is kazayas. So this triggered a, you know, whole firestorm in the Achronim, the Shagasarye, and then, you know, from there. And that is like, what? Because of the bracha, birchas ha-mitzvah, derabanan, you know, that's why you have to eat a kazayas of marar. You know, so don't make a bracha, or change the nusach ha-bracha. And why? What about the fact that the Torah says omatzos imroram yochluhu, and that stam achila is bekazayas? Like those things don't count. Just the nusach ha-bracha. Why does the nusach ha-bracha have this kind of prominence, etc.? So this is like, you know, an interesting question that you know, people weighed in on. It's like a whole discussion. Another time, Emir Hashem, we'll speak more fully about it, maybe. But see, we're trying to fulfill some of our obligations. See, I took the, your composition very seriously. Haven't been able to sleep ever since. But the Rav's idea was of all this was no. It's the same. He said basically what the Rush was misstopic about, and this I don't think it works so well into the language of the Rosh, but I do think objectively it's a good question in its own right, and that is that he's saying like this, you know, you have charoses, and then you have, you know, maror midivrei sofrim, you know, and the question is the same question basically, namely midrabanan or midivrei sofrim, how do they formulate the mitzvah of maror? And it's clear that maror, anyways, is a kind of a tufel, you know, even on the raisa level, this I'm adding, you know, because, you know, it's al matzah and maror miyachlu. Maror is never a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Rambam doesn't count it. The Rambam, you know, is very sensitive about it. So, like in Sefer Mitzvos, he has a whole arichus, and in Hilchos Korban Pesach, he has an arichus, and in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, you know, he tells you, look at what I wrote in Hilchos Korban Pesach, so he wouldn't have such an arichus. But basically, you know, he's very, it's clear that, you know, maror, as important as it is, one of the three of Rabbi Gamliel, but it's, you know, it plays an auxiliary role. And you would expect that it would. You know, we could discuss whether the holiday is called Chag HaMatzos or whether to call it Chag HaPesach. No one calls it Chag HaMaror, you know, and we wouldn't want them to. You know, the maror is a you know, it's a counterposing factor. You know, it's a contrasting factor, obviously. You know, it's Zecher l'Marirus, but it's a Chag of Cherus. And, you know, so we understand why Maror's role is Tafel, as critical as it is, very important role. Oh, so the question is, how did they formulate, you know, both on a Daraisa level and on a Drabanan level, and you could be Mechalik between them, of course, how did they formulate the mitzvah of Maror? You know, if it's not an Achila, is it an Achila b'fnei atzma, even though it's Tafel? And it's supposed to be in conjunction with matzah and korban pesach, or you know, maybe it's more like a prop, like the charoses. So, if that's the case, you know, then the question is, would it have required a bracha at all? I mean, the Rambam's psak is that charoses doesn't get a psak, doesn't get a bracha, right? He changed his mind from Pirushim Shnayas. So, this is the clever part of what the Rambam's saying. I just don't think it works in so well into the words, but I think it's still a valid you know, reasoning. So he said, oh, maybe the pshat in the Rush is not that the nusach habracha is what determines that you need to eat a kezias. Maybe the fact, the very fact, that you make a bracha dictates that you have to eat a kezias. Because the common denominator being, like, what were they mitakin for the mitzvah of Maror? If they were mitakin that it's a prop, that it's something to be present, that it's, you know, intended to be, you know, like a talking point, you know, it's a show and tell for the night. So, like charoses, then, you know, it's very understandable that there would be no kezias. At the same time, then there shouldn't be a bracha either. So what the Rosh was saying was, oh, we make a bracha on Maror. That's the raya, that the way we treat the mitzvah of Maror, even though it's Tafel, and even Bizman Azeh, is that we, you know, even though it's Tafel, it's a mitzvah sachila. If it's a mitzvah sachila, and you need a bracha, then you need a kezias. Right? Anyway, why am I telling you all these things? I'm just trying to show you different examples. If indeed, this is true anyway, whatever the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah is. I just think it's much better if Birchas HaMitzvah is what I'm in the middle of discussing now is that Birchas HaMitzvah is a standalone idea. It's not a matir of Birchas HaNen, and it's not simply Birchas Shevach B'Hodah, one whose rules are changed, you know, in mitzvos as opposed to natural, you know, phenomena. We'll get back to that. But rather, it's something which is required by or contributes to an essential service to, you know, the way that we do mitzvahs. So what, you know, what aspect of that? The chiyuv, right? The kiyum, the maisa. By the same token, that's what we're talking about now. Let's say you don't have a maisa mitzvah at all. You have a kiyum a mitzvah, but a maisa mitzvah. Do you require birchas a mitzvah? Another example that he's supposed to speak on a lot is Sfiras Omer, but not the way that we spoke about it before. but, you know, the issue of the Bahag and the Bali Tosas. Like, if you think that Tmimos is one mitzvah, but it, you know, requires 49 actions, so it's an example of one Kiyuma mitzvah, if that's the pshat, in, you know, in the argument, so it's one Kiyuma mitzvah with 49 Maisa mitzvahs. We make a bracha, you know, each night, right? If you think really that the bracha is on the Kiyuma mitzvah, not on the Maisa mitzvah, you know, maybe you wouldn't do that. Again, according to other Rishonim, who think that it's a mitzvah every night, and even some interpretations of it being, you know, ma'akev, you know, and missing one day, you're torpedoing the whole thing. As we know, there's another way to look at that, and that is, you know, that the, you know, you need the previous count, you need the proper count in order for the independent mitzvah to be chal, and once you're out of that count, once you miss the count, you just can't, you know, you just can't get it, or maybe you can only get it in a very specialized way. So I don't want to get into the details of that, but I'm just trying to, you know, kind of zero in on what aspect of, if a mitzvah really requires a bracha, or is enhanced by a bracha, the bracha partially integrates into, instead of saying, you know, the shem yichud kutshu brichu, you know, which is controversial, or, you know, hinani muchan, you know, lekayim, you know, mitzvahs kavana. So you're saying asher kedushan if you know what you're saying, asher kedushan b'mitzvah 71, or lishma, or it's not misasek, or maybe you're the one by doing that, or by doing that you're allowing the netziv's idea to be correct, meaning there's a stama lishma or a stama b'kavana, you know, because of the bracha. I'm not saying he thinks that it's only when you have bracha, but I can conceive of such a view, frankly, right? That if you don't have a bracha, then there's no stamala kavana, right? So whether it's to accentuate the mitzvah part, the chiyuv part, or it's to, you know, highlight what the, you know, to appreciate what this. I'll give you another example. Again, we had the example of the Rav Yoh and the Gra and the whole idea that it might actually integrate into the mitzvah, which would work very well according to this view. And of course, that's not the mainstream view, but that, you know, doesn't mean that this isn't all correct. But even if there are certain, you know, kavanos that are ma'akev, right? Would the bracha, you know, in those cases have a different status or not? So, for example, you know, there's this famous Bach, right, about the mitzvah of sukkah. Really, the truth is, it has roots in the Rach, not just because they, you know, rhyme, but the Rach, Rabbeinu Chananel, in the beginning of sukkah, you know, does seem to say, right in the beginning of sukkah, when they talk about, you know, what the problem is of sukkah l'malam yasra mama, that this idea that, you know, the mitzvahs, the man yedu doro seichem, kibizukas ha-shafti, you know, some, let's say also, merits mitzrayim, you know, requires like a certain level, higher level of kavana, you know, an awareness of what you're doing more, or l'shem. Again, there are different verses of this, but even in the Bach, when he says it, and then the Taz, who is the son-in-law, you know, when he repeats it, because Taz liked this idea very much, but he has his own, like, spin on it for certain things, a bit stier and other things. But, so, is this, you know, kavana, again, le tamei mitzvos? Typically, tamei mitzvos are not ma'akev. So here you have kavana, tamei sislaman, yedid or sechem. And again, the Bach points out, it's not just sukkah, right? There would be huadin betfilin, there would be betzitzes, you know, maybe you could find other things, those are the three that he speaks about. Or is it about mitzvah strichos? Typically, mitzvah saying strichos kavana, but here, mitzvah strichos kavana. Okay? But it would be an interesting thing to, in light of that, to wonder, like, if you could interview the Bach or the Taz and say to them, do you think that would affect, you know, the role of birchas ha-mitzvah? You know, here? I think that's something that might very well be true. It's something to think about. And certainly the idea of the Tosa Rosh that we discussed already a couple of days ago in Brachos, you know, which is that had Birkas HaMitzvah been a requirement d'oraisa, that it would have been ma'akev the mitzvah, like, you know, how could that be? You know, may, you know, work very well. I'm not saying it doesn't work in the other cases. If it's Birkas Shevach Vahoda alone, then that certainly doesn't make sense, that it would be ma'akev the mitzvah, but you know, if it's a matir, maybe. Maybe. Although it seems like you should just be missing the matir, and that should be an independent problem. But certainly, if the Birchas HaMitzvah is a way of neutralizing certain impediments or obstacles and enhancing, you know, either as a kiyum or maybe in some cases either as a, more than that, something, you know, the prerequisites that you need to make this mitzvah, you know, viable or at least to advance it, then the idea that it might be ma'akev if it was a d'oraisa requirement is very, very reasonable. Okay, so this is what we mean, this is what I mean when I'm suggesting that this might be like a you know, a special din in its own right and connected with the nature of mitzvah. And these are some of the things to think about in that regard. The ritva is a little bit tricky. I don't know what happened to my ritva. I thought I had it here. Anybody have language of the ritva? Anything you have it? The Ritva has a terrific language here, just a little bit complicated. And then I want to talk about Tosis's language for a second, too. I'm going to try to finish in another 10 minutes, but it's too early to daven now anyway, right? Okay, so we'll stop and then we'll... And in Mirz Hashem Tuesday, we'll pick up and we'll try to finish these things off and move on to the next topic. You have it there? The Ritva, his description of what Birchas HaMitzvah is and adds. Maybe I'll call him Mitzvah Svarchim over Lassi Yasson? Anybody have it? What? Oh, it's on the board. Okay. Go ahead, Nathan, you want to do the honors? Oh, I can't move. Wait a minute, what did I do? Okay. My, like, you know... What is it called? The ankle monitor? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so that alone, what do you think about that? Kadeshi is Kadesh Tchila, Vibracha. So this is very similar to what we were talking about. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he adds, then the thing in the end. Yeah. So again, it doesn't sound like this is, has anything to do with Berachas Shabbat Vahodah, right? It sounds like this is a preparation. This is an as a dimension of performing, either preparing for the mitzvah or for performing it in a more maximalist way. I think it's like a very inspiring language, both of them. You know, the viod part too. So, yeah, I think the ritva belongs, you know, with this. There's an interesting line in Tosis, maybe with this we'll conclude for now, but I'll just something I'll mention just, I want to start the Shevach idea just quickly. But Tosan Zayin Obed Aleph, you know, has a line. Zev, you saw it? The one on Bris Mila. He has like an interesting line, but it's a little more complicated. Yeah, exactly. So he's talking about the Bracha Lachniso and when you say it. Right, so the... Just read, if you could just read through the Tosis quickly, we'll talk more about it when we try to finish these things up on Tuesday. Yeah, so the Rajba, meaning the Rash Mishans, was of the opinion that you make the Bracha Lachniso Bebrisa Shalavar Mavinu, right, in advance of the, like, over Lassi Yasson. Yeah, so very good. So he's focused more on the Nusach than the need for this to be a Birchas HaMitzvah, because there's another Bracha too, of course, which is the Bracha of Alamila. Yeah, this is the second Bracha. So, but we'll get back to that. Okay. Velonir Ler Benu Tam. Yeah, that's not really such a strong proof, obviously, but okay. But either way, that's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. Okay, so if you were to stop right there, and then we will refer, you know, return to this, what would you say about Rabbeinu Tam's view of this bracha, Zev? That's a bircha shevach v'hoda, and that's why, even though, you know, it seems like it's inaccurate in terms of the timing, no, it's not talking about this bris milah, it's talking about the phenomenon, right, of bris milah, you know, and, you know, in the world, you know, for the next one, or whatever. Okay, so that seems to be the pshat, and that also explains why it's la'achar, as opposed to lifnei, because it's birchas shevach v'hodah. So there are two brachos in milah. One is ala milah, call that a birchas ha-mitzvah, and the other one seems to be birchas shevach v'hodah. You're rhapsodizing about the phenomenon, you know, of bris milah, right? But what's interesting, a little bit jarring about that, is the next line in Tosas. Go ahead. Yeah. So why do I say it's a little jarring? Because you would have thought that the reason that you say it now is because you just had this experience. And that's the Divrei Shevach V'Hodah. Right? What more do you need to explain? Just like, you know, you heard the thunder, you heard the lightning, you didn't hear the lightning, unless you were Roa Sakolos, right? So, or the other way. That would be Shomea yeah. Anyways, but the, right. So whatever it is, you experienced the natural phenomenon, now you're rhapsodizing. So here you experience the spiritual phenomenon, and you're, you know, just saw bris milah, and you're all excited about it, and you're, you know, you just can't contain yourself, and you're, you know, expressing shevach v'hodah. And that's the reason. So it's just curious. I don't have a good answer for it. But what I do, the reason I picked it out is because I thought this is a great line, which I wouldn't have put together, you know, with a birchas shevach, but I might have put together, you know, as an explanation, like the Ritva, as an explanation for Birchas HaMitzvah. Namely, that you want to make sure, right, Tiknu kam legalos alahodia, shazu amila, nasa l'shem yotrein, novelo l'shem avarazar, l'shem mor, novelo l'shem argrizin. Right? Meaning, you know, so I'm not sure exactly why the Shevach V'Hodah of rhapsodizing needs this, frankly. Yeah, for Tosfos Ben Peretz has a bit of a different nusach and all this, maybe we'll pick up on that on Mirtz Hashem on Tuesday. But unless, I mean, Ad Kedei Kach, it bothers me that, you know, maybe there's another way to look at what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Namely, yeah, that this too is a Birchas HaMitzvah. And therefore, what he's saying is, you know, there's a Birchas HaMitzvah, some Birchas HaMitzvahs are, or maybe Birchas HaMitzvah in general is Mishabeach U'Modeh. You know, but what's it doing? Why, you know, why now, and why here? You know, that's the Shem Yotzreinu, right? And this fits in. We're just not 100% sure. Just continue with the next couple of words. Vein sorach levarach over lasiyaso. Right. Stop. So avakashavarach acher lo. So that could be interpreted, of course, in one of two ways. Is that right? One is
that it's, you know,
like the first way you read Tosas. It's a birchas shevach v'hodah, and that's the reason why you make it la'achar instead of lifnei, because you always all birchas shevach v'hodah, or almost all, let's say the standard, the default in birchas shevach v'hodah, is that you are responding to something that you encountered, to an experience, and you're rhapsodizing about it. So that's why. So this is another way of saying, there's no overlap siyasan and birchas shevach v'hodah. Why don't you need birchas? But again, I would have said it a little bit differently if I was Tosas. I would have said, because you already have it. You have asher kedushon tosas mitzivan, ala mila. No, so that, I'm saying ela, so that then the idea would be to say, el b'makom sha'osa mitzvah hu mavarech, meaning the Birchas HaMitzvah is limited, and I want to talk about this too, to the Osa HaMitzvah. Right? But if a Moel, if you hired a Moel, or even hire him, whatever it is, the Moel is the one who's doing the Bris Milah, so he's not the Mechuyah B'mitzvos. So then it's typically Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. That's what he's saying. Ein sor klavar kovel asiyasa the b'mokum she'osa mitzvah hu mevarech havakim shvarech acher lo v'teida shari birchas eirusin ein mevarech alakar eirusin. So that's his way of saying that, you know, that was their view, that you make the birchas eirusin alakar. This is what the Rosh quotes, of course, as well. And the Rabbit has this both also in Milah and in eirusin. You know, and you make it afterwards. So one way to read this whole Tosis and this whole Shita is that, you know, this is the hard line between Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. When you make it, who makes it, you know, what the Nusach HaBracha is, etc. But it's also easy to say about Birchas Eirusin, it's not a Sher Kedushan of Mitzvah Sivanu Ala Kedushan, as the Rishonim all point out, right, or Lekadesh HaSeisha. So that either is Lachniso Bebriso Shalav or Mavino, a typical, not as atypical as Birchas Eirusin, but, you know, it's not Asher Kedushan Tosef Mitzvah Nu'ala. You can also ask the question, this is part of the question, like, why do you need two brachos if they're both, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah, right? Okay, so that's one way to read Tosis, but there's another way to read Tosis, right, and that is, what we the second thing that we said, and that is, this remains Birchas HaMitzvah, but there's a difference between a Birchas HaMitzvah that is undertaken by the Mitzuvah, right? And by Acher, by somebody else. So there are Birchas HaMitzvahs which are La'ach, that the requirement of Kol HaMitzvahs V'Varcha Maleim over La'asiyasan is only when it's the Osa HaMitzvah. But in Achanami, the goal of this part of this second Birchas HaMitzvah is Legalis Lodia Shizu Amila Nasa L'Shem Yatzreinu. So that would be very, very important. In general, according to everything that we've been saying about Birchas HaMitzvah being, you know, maybe something which is a kiyum in the mitzvah itself, or in the, you know, neutralizing obstacles, enhancing the mitzvah, you know, contributing the framework and so on. Should that matter whether it's the Osa Mitzvah or Acher?
Well, yeah. If you're the ones doing the Mitzvah, then you want to get into the mindset. So that else
certainly makes it possible.
Yeah.
Right. And on a Matir level, if we say it's like Birchas HaNenin?
Well, then it would be the same thing. Because
I'm not so sure.
Why would someone else make the bracha for you? Someone else not just do
it
for you?
No, somebody else is doing the Mitzvah for you. He's doing the Maisa Mila, but it's not his Mila. Right? Would that require a Matir? Not sure. I think it's an interesting question. You're the one who's doing the Mitzvah, but you're not doing the Maisa Mitzvah. Is a Matir required in such a case, you know, or not? That would be an interesting question. How about the phenomenon? So that's something to think about. Meaning what Tosis says in the bottom is, if Tosis is only saying that's the line between Birchas Shevach and Birchas HaMitzvah, then that's one thing. But what I'm suggesting is that, you know, if there, what we're saying is our two types of Birchas HaMitzvah, that's an interesting question. The question of somebody else and the question of from a Matir point of view is an interesting thing to think about. What about the idea of there ever being more than one Birchas HaMitzvah? Which is also kind of here, the question. Like, do you have more than one, can you have more than one Birchas HaMitzvah? Or, whenever you have more than one, it's by definition not a Birchas HaMitzvah. Or at least, you know, the more than one isn't Birchas HaMitzvah. Right? That's a phenomenon to discuss in Birchas Milah. But also in some other areas of halacha, not so many. What other area? Maybe. Josh.
Tefillin.
Okay, but tefillin. It could be that the question is, you know, how many mitzvahs are there? Right. So that isn't such a great example. Anything else that you can think of? Birchas HaTorah. Yeah, the question, of course, about Birchas HaTorah is dual. Number one, is it a brachas hamitzvah at all? And, you know, if it is, are all the brachos brachas haTorah or not? So it's actually very interesting because the Tosafta, you know, connects brachas hamitzvah, I'm sorry, the Rishalmi, connects brachas hamitzvah with brachas haTorah. Right? But we know that that's a massive, massive debate. We spent a couple of Mondays on that a couple of years back, but some of you were here, as I recall. But many of you were not. So we'll just speak about it for a minute now. And that is, what is the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah? The Ramban's view, say for mitzvahs, is that Birchas HaMitzvah is a din d'oraisa, number one. I'm sorry, Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaTorah is din d'oraisa. And it is nimna separately in the Taryag mitzvos, Kishem Hashem Akraha V'Godol Alokeinu. It's a bracha that's d'oraisa. It's a bracha that's in minyan mitzvos, two remarkable things. And he also thinks, in very beautiful language, that it is a bracha of Shemach V'Hodah. Basically, it's a, you know, it's an acknowledgement of, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, having provided us with, you know, guidance and direction and purpose in life. Maybe we'll read the language on Tuesday. We're going to continue with this very quickly. So, according to the Ramban, Birchas HaTorah is mostly not a Birchas HaMitzvah, and therefore the phenomenon that there's more than one bracha. How many brachos are there? Ah, it's a trick question a bit. How many brachos are there? This is a trick question, so I'm looking for volunteers. What'd you say? Correct. That's the right answer. Do you want to elaborate, or? Some say three, and some say two. The question is, v'harevna, is it harevna or v'harevna? Right, is it a v'avachibor or not? Is it, you know, 100%, it's exactly correct. So certainly there's lasuk b'divrei Torah, or al mitzvos talmud Torah, according to the, you know, Sephardic tradition. Ashkenazic tradition is lasuk b'divrei Torah, which also may be consequential here, because lasuk b'divrei Torah sounds an awful lot more like birchas hamitzvah. Although again, it's a curious, interesting usage, asek, right? But the lasuk b'divrei Torah, whereas al, you know, divrei Torah, or seems to sound more like, as Reb Chaim put it, a bracha on chafzah shel Torah, rather than on the mitzvah of limud haTorah, right? So the nusach matters also, but that's one. Then the question is, and certainly the third or the second, everybody agrees asher bachar banu, right? That might be the meula shebekulan according to the Gemara Brachos Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Beis. So basically, that's clear. And the question is harevna or viharevna? Is that an independent brachah? Harevna shem lakeinu divrei Torascha, right? Befinu, befi, you know, and all of that, you know, is that a third bracha or not? Okay. So there's a massive, massive debate, you know, about that, but there's also just this earlier debate about Birchas HaTorah being a Birchas HaMitzvah or not. The Baalei Tosfos pretty much assume that it is, right? Because they ask all sorts of interesting questions, all over the, you know, like why is Birchas HaTorah any different than Birchas Sukkah? Right? Every time you enter the Sukkah, you say Leishei Basukkah. Or if you take off your tefillin or your tzitzis and then you put them on later, you'll make a bracha. So why is it that you don't say the bracha on Talmud Torah all day long, every time you pick up your, if you pick up a Gemara or you pick up a Tanakh, whatever it is that you're learning, and you start learning again after having interrupted in the middle, why don't you say a separate Birchas HaTorah? This is like a massive, you know, issue. So Tosas, by asking that question, assume the equation to Leishe Basaka, to Al Mitzvah Tzitzis or Tfilin or Laniach Tfilin, etc. And their answers do not dispute that. Right? Their answers are things like, you know, Rabbeinu Tam, there's a mitzvah to learn all day, and therefore it's not considered a hafsek. I mean, the chi of a mitzvah is koveya, the absence of a hafsek. It's a chiddush, both that there's a chi of all day, it's controversial, and that that should dictate that there's no hafsek. It's also controversial. Whereas the Rush and others say, you know, also controversial, but not in a different way, that there isn't a hafsek. As long as you're awake and you're not involved in Shenas Kama, that you're, you know, subliminally, like, always thinking of Halavai, right? The Divrei Torah, or the Esek HaTorah, etc. And therefore, Lamaisa, there's no... Okay, so those kind of answers, one way or another, with details are not important for now, assume that Talmud Torah is Birkas HaTorah. So how do you then contend with the multiple, you know, brachos? So the Balamor in brachos actually says that the different brachos refer to the different genre of Torah. I think about there has a whole discussion, and this is also part of the issue. You know, what do you make a bracha on? Torah Shebichsav, you know, Mishnayos, what about Talmud, what about Medrash, right? That's all discussions in the Gemara. So the Baal HaMor says, in the end, it sounds like the Gemara says you make a bracha on all these things, but not because, I'm adding a little bit to the Baal HaMor, not because the distinctions or the divisions are not important, but because even though they are, you still make a bracha on all of them. But that doesn't mean that the separate brachos don't target the individual genres. So that's the view of the Baal HaMor. The Ravid says, I don't understand why that would be. You know, all aspects of Torah are the same. That's why the Baal HaMor and Ravid are very important. They're both saying things that are true. There are genres, and it's also all one. Okay. So anyways, those are very important topics. So for the Baal HaMor, I mean, does it make sense that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, but that the mitzvah really separates itself into the genres? Or is the Ravid right about that? We're talking about the mitzvah, it's Kulachada Torahi, to use the language of the Ravid. Maybe again, what the Baal HaMor was saying is, no, it's about the Cheftza Shel Torah. Every genre has its own, you know, particular, you know, unique character. You know, Lohare Torah Shebichsav Ketorah Shebaalpeh, Lohare Halacha Ka'agada, you know, and so on. Lohare, you know, Halachos Psukos Ketalmud, you know, which is analyzing them. So, you know, maybe what the Baal HaMor was saying was that, you know, this is the Brachan Chafsa Shel Torah, and therefore each Chafsa Shel Torah is separate. And the Ravid was saying, I think it's a Brachan on Limud HaTorah, Kol Torah is Kula, Schat. Anyways, there is this, you know, very interesting debate. There's a Sefer Bali Tosis called Shelos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim. Okay? That's a phenomenon in its own right. Anyways, but one of the interesting things in that Sefer is that he actually suggests that the multiple Birchas HaTorah, there are two, he thinks, and one is Birchas HaMitzvah, Klasov B'Divrei Torah, whatever it is, the first one, and that the other one, or ones, are Birchas Shevach Ba'odah. Okay. So in Bris Milah, possibly in Talmud Torah, this is the question. Whenever you have multiple brachos, does that mean that one is a Birchas HaMitzvah and one is a Birchas Shevach? Which would imply that Birchas HaMitzvah itself is not a Birchas Shevach. Right? Or, oh no. You know, they're just about different aspects of the mitzvah, different aspects. I think that could be true in Milan. It could be, as we've just briefly touched on, true for Torah. Okay, we're going to stop here. So I want to pick up on this idea. I also want to talk a little bit about you know, multiple brachos on the same mitzvah. I want to speak a little more about these examples. But I also want to speak about if Birchas HaMitzvah is Birchas Shevach V'Hodah itself, so why is it Lifnei over La'asiyasan and not La'acharasiyasan? And, you know, some other differences, and then talk about a little bit about the matir part and the connection to also Birchas HaMazon. How does all this affect the debate, not only between the Orzua and the Rambam, but the question of, you know, how to read the Yerushalmi, which I gave you to look at. Is it better over La'asiyasan or Toch La'asiyasan? right? And some other examples, you know, that they all bring. So try to finish this and then to speak about some particular individual brachos, a little more about Mila and Kiddushin and the things that come up here in the Rishonim all the time, the Ramban, Tosas, you know, the Ran, the Rush, and talk also about Alan Le, you know, Efshali De Shliach, you know, those issues, to finish this part up, and then we'll move on to the Sveikos issues. Okay? That's the plan.